Thank you so much for joining us today. We are going to be talking to Amanda Drubnica. She is the Senior Director of Programs at the Alzheimer's Association Rochester in the Finger Lakes. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you, Amanda. How long have you been with the Alzheimer's Association?
About a year and a half now.
Oh, so fairly new. What did you do before all this?
I have had a historic career in public health and policy, and I was actually at the University of Rochester prior to this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Obviously, the Alzheimer's Association has been around for a while. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Absolutely. Our local chapter here is one of about 81 chapters in the nation. We are actually celebrating our 40-year anniversary this year, delivering programs and services to over 10 counties in the Rochester and Finger Lakes area. We are the leading voluntary health organization in Alzheimer's care, support, and research. And our vision and mission is to lead the way to end Alzheimer's and all other dementia. We do that by accelerating research. We drive risk reduction and early detection, and we maximize quality care and support.
And now I know you have a lot of information on your website. And what is your website for those people that do need to know?
It's alz.org.
Say it again?
And you can find alz.org, ALZ.org, mm-hmm. And you can find our Rochester chapter through that link.
All right. Now, as the Senior Director of Programs for the organization, your approach to programming had to kind of change things with the pandemic.
Absolutely.
And you had to probably pivot a little bit.
We certainly did. I manage a team. We have 14 programs staff on my team. We did not meet. The moment we knew we had to leave our office spaces and work remotely, just to remind you, we are a public health agency, so we follow all CDC guidelines and all local health guidelines. So in order to protect our staff, our volunteers, and those that we serve, we worked remotely from day one. We were able to transition all of our programs and services to virtual platforms.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was pretty amazing. We did this using Zoom. And again, this to my amazing skilled staff, they did not hesitate at all. We ended up doing a lot more proactive calling to check in on our constituents to make sure that they had everything that they needed during the time of biggest need, as well as, we designed some programs that were a little bit more appropriate for the time. We transitioned times and we were able to actually implement several more programs because we weren't doing them in person and we weren't traveling during that time.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So definitely a lot has changed. Now, you're in your title, it says Alzheimer's Association, but you also do it's Alzheimer's and dementia.
Exactly. All dementia.
Right. Is there a difference between the two?
There is indeed. Alzheimer's is dementia is the umbrella, if you wanted to consider it that way. And Alzheimer's contributes about 60-80% of dementia.
Okay.
Type of dementia. Yeah.
Right. I know my grandmother had dementia, so it's a certain form of dementia is Alzheimer's. Is that kind of?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. You have a lot of probably programs that are coming up, or do you right now with the pandemic? Or did you switch things up even more?
We do indeed. We have several programs coming up. We run caregiver education programs daily. We are open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for personalized care and support or care consultation with a certified consultant for anybody who wanted any specific advice to talk through what they may be going through with their family member, loved one. We have support groups. We run over 28 support groups in our area. Again, right now, those are all being held virtually. So we design those programs based on the need of the community. So, for instance, we have one group in the Southern Tier specifically for male caregivers. We have a Black African American caregiver support group. We have our support groups are designed by location, site, and need from the community.
Okay.
We also have a host of social activities that we do virtually right now. Generally, we would do those in person. We would go on museum tours. We would attend the RPO together as a group. These opportunities allow caregivers and their loved ones to come together and meet other families that are going through something similar.
Yeah, because you may not know, like, the signs. And on your website, I was checking it out, they have, like, know the 10 signs. Because you see your parents or your grandparents getting older, and you see them, and things are changing. And sometimes you might make a joke or brush things off, but there are things that you can check for, and you can probably, a good tool is your website, I think.
Absolutely. And going to your primary care provider.
Yes. Well,
and
yes, that too.
Tracking any of those changes that you might be experiencing with your loved one.
Right. Because it's very hard. It's very hard. What made you decide to go to the Alzheimer's Association? You had definitely had a journey and a career before this.
Well, there's a big need for people like me with a background in public health to advocate for Alzheimer's and dementia. You know, 1 in 3 seniors dies from Alzheimer's dementia. There's no cure right now. So a lot of the work we do, you know, we fuel research, we advocate, we deliver programs and services directly to those family members in need. You know, right now we have over 6.2 million seniors living with Alzheimer's. And to me, there was just such an impact on our community, on our healthcare systems, on our caregivers, that I was drawn to the type of work. I knew it was going to be a challenge, and we wake up every day fighting for this cause. And I wanted to be part of something much bigger than myself.
Well, you definitely are being a part of this, and we appreciate all that you're doing. How can those of us or people that need to know more information get involved or maybe help the Alzheimer's Association? I know it's COVID. We're still, you know, kind of not doing as much as we used to, and maybe you don't need as many volunteers, but they can still get involved in other ways.
Oh, my goodness, do we need volunteers. We always welcome volunteers as a voluntary, you know, as a voluntary health organization. This is imperative to us reaching as many people as possible with the information that we have, the education programs that we have, with the support groups that we have. So we currently have many open positions for volunteering. You can become a community educator. We have need for faith-based representation. We have need for community representatives. We are looking for support group facilitators. We are looking for people to help manage and organize some of the social activities that we do out in the communities. And we have advocacy opportunities as well. And then, of course, there's always fundraising. People can get involved in, you know, upcoming. Right now, we have our longest day, which is June 20th. It's a summer solstice. It's a day where we commemorate and we really celebrate we all come together to fight the darkness of Alzheimer's on the longest day of the year. And individuals can manage their own fundraising activities. They do whatever they feel compelled. You know, for me, for instance, I love to do floral arrangements. So I'm going to be putting together a big floral campaign personally to raise money for the cause. We also have a gala coming up on November 4th. And of course, depending on COVID, we're hoping that that's in person. We have our walks. We have 3 different walks in our area. October 2nd is our Finger Lakes Walk to End Alzheimer's. October 9th is our Rochester Walk to End Alzheimer's. And October 16th is our Elmira Walk to End Alzheimer's. And, you know, this is our biggest campaign of the year. It's an opportunity for us to walk the cause and raise money.
How did you do it last year? Did you just, everyone walked themselves kind of thing?
Yes, in our communities, in our mm-hmm. individual communities.
Yeah. So hopefully this year, maybe you can get together this year. We'll have to see, right?
We'll
have to see how it goes.
That is the plan for right now. And we have a number of different community forums coming up too, because we really do want to hear from our constituents, our community members, on how we can better serve the community.
So yeah, because I'm guessing, like, COVID has definitely impacted things even more for people with Alzheimer's and caregivers and people helping to take care of people with Alzheimer's.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The amount of time and the isolation in and of itself
right.
is having an impact on those living with dementia, because, so, you know, studies show that socialization and that connection with community it definitely helps with people who are living with dementia.
Exactly. Now, your online education programs, those are free, correct?
All of our programs and services are free. All of our support groups, all of our social activities, all of our our community education programs are free to the community, thanks to funding from a number of different sources, the New York State Department of Health, HRSA, we have the Monroe County Office for the Aging, Offices for the Aging. So we're proud to be able to share those programs at free of charge to the community.
And you have is it a 24/7 helpline? Is that what you have?
We do have a 20, yes.
Wow, that's big.
It absolutely is. And we can connect people with other local resources, too, if there's a need for something other than the support.
All right. And then the in-person support groups, are those happening or sort of happening? Or just
right
online?
Right now, they're all being held virtually, but there is a transition plan that is coming into place relatively soon, but we just don't have those details quite yet.
Okay. And if you do, sometimes those are at hospitals, libraries, when in the past?
Libraries, offices for the aging, community centers.
Okay. Well, what could we do to help? There's a besides volunteering, monetary donations, I'm guessing, help too?
Absolutely.
Those are always helpful, right?
You can do that online, yes. You can do that online at any time. And sharing the information, you know, that Alzheimer's and dementia, that there are supports in place. And there's a number of different programs that, you know, if you know someone who's living with dementia or caring for an individual with dementia, we have the resources and the tools necessary to help them through their journey. You know, we know that every family experiences Alzheimer's and dementia differently, but we are here to support 24 hours a day.
Well, we appreciate the work that you're doing. And I have a lot of questions about my mother, and I know I've joked about it probably in the past on the radio, but I do, because it does run in our families, right? And I love on your website, it says the first survivor of Alzheimer's is out there, but we won't get there without your help.
Exactly.
And you need that right now. They have a 24/7 helpline. They have a ton of programs to help, you know, with Alzheimer's and the caregivers and dementia. So if you would like to, you can go on their website. Give it one more time.
Alz.org.
All right. Thank you so much. Amanda has been our guest. She is the senior director of the Alzheimer's Association, Rochester in the Finger Lakes region. I know you got a lot going on, and I know you're busy, but we do appreciate you spending some time with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.